Connect FM, it's the Tay and Jay Show. Lante, Jeremy Warner, that's Mike Carpenter, 424. It's Tuesday, my man. And you can call us, 359-CALL, 217-359-2255.
And we're getting into our Big Ten basketball season recap. We're talking Hoosiers today. We're going to do a team each day and for the next 11 days.
Who?
What?
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers. You confuse me sometimes.
That was a joke?
Yeah.
Who?
Really? Really?
I'm sorry. That was terrible.
Way to interrupt.
I know.
You were gone. Now I'm lost.
I'm sorry.
Right, Big Ten season recap. We're doing one team over the next 11 shows. There. Thank you, Tay. We're doing Indiana today. Justin DePirak from the Bloomington Herald Times will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk Iowa tomorrow, Minnesota Thursday. And we'll talk
Penn State
on Friday. So we'll give you a little recap of the season, what they have looking forward, who's coming back, what they have going in the future.
And we're at the bottom of the hour, of course, with Dustin, I want to ask him who they've got coming in. Who are some of the recruits? Because I know you have told me Tom Crean has got some things moving right on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, Tom Crean entering his third season. He's 28-66 overall. Yeah. We knew the first 2 years were going to be rough.
Right.
You know, Kelvin Sampson left a wasteland there. It was like an atomic bomb dropped, and it did because of the Eric Gordon mess and the mess that he made, Kelvin Sampson made there. So 28-66 overall, 8-46 in the Big Ten. We thought this year they'd take a step forward. Not so for the Hoosiers. They went 12-20 overall. 12-6 at home. They didn't win a road game. Went 0-11 on the road.
Wow.
3-15 in Big Ten play. Ended up tied with Iowa for last place. They ended up losing their last 9 games.
I was going to say.
Yeah, because they had a little stretch there right when they beat us, beat Minnesota, I want to say, and then they almost won at Michigan State.
Yep.
Just after that victory that they had over us. And I remember watching that game and thinking, well, maybe this is the Indiana getting on track like everybody assumed Tom Crean eventually would. But I'm not so sure now.
The good news for Indiana, they lose one senior. That's Jeremiah Rivers, who really didn't do a lot for them.
Yeah. He was a gutsy player.
He was
player,
kind of a roll
glue guy.
Exactly. 4 points, 3 rebounds, 55 total assists. So you don't lose a lot.
How often did Austin Rivers, his little brother, who's a senior in high school, I wonder how many times he beat him in the driveway.
Oh, terrible.
Because Austin, have you seen him play yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, he can shoot the line. He looks like his dad died.
So was the older Rivers kid kind of like Jeff Jordan?
A little.
But I guess Marcus isn't that special either.
No,
well,
I agree
Marcus
with that.
Marcus is better, though.
Better,
yeah, he is.
Better, but not Duke better, and that's where Austin's going.
Yep.
So that's, that's the only, or that's the good news. That they only lose one senior, and it's a guy that really didn't do a lot, 4 points, 3 rebounds. You get a lot of guys coming back, including a guy I love, Jordan Holes.
You do love Jordan.
I do. I like
What's with
him.
Him and Kraft and all these scrappy wide kids that you just love.
I don't
watching.
Know. And I can honestly tell you it's got nothing
right
to do.
There, right?
Yeah, nothing to do with it being white. I can tell you that. But I think it's just, I think they're scrappy. I like that.
Yeah,
I like
you
it.
Like
that,
scrappy.
And they shoot jumpers. I mean, they can hit shots. And it's just guys that I think those are good glue guys that you like. I mean, Matt Heldman was a guy like that
enjoyed. The guys leading this program are Christian Watford,
right.
Verdell Jones, the Champagne kid, and Maurice Creek. And they didn't have Maurice Creek for most of this year. Verdell Jones was out a couple games this year, and so was Christian Watford. So now if you can get these guys all healthy,
right.
Could they make some noise?
Mm.
Do you see them making any kind of noise?
No.
No.
And I would argue that,
like, seventh, maybe.
I like Victor Oladipo.
I like him a lot. He's active.
He's a freshman this year, and I think he's going to improve a lot.
He's active and very active. But by the way, I wouldn't put Watford above Holes at all. Watford shoots 18 times a game and makes 4.
Scores.
Well, because he shoots 18 times a game. So, I mean, I wouldn't put him above Holes.
When you're in Indiana.
Well,
no one else can
score. That's me.
Somebody's got to score.
Well, I agree, but I just think I would rather Holes take half the shots and Watford take half. But I think Maurice Creek coming back will help them a lot.
Well, the biggest weakness of this team is their post players.
They have nobody.
You know, when Guy Mark Michelle, a big-time junior college transfer, was coming into this program, he's going to start right away.
Yep.
He's a 7-foot, 265-pound guy that could have given him a lot of size. Instead, they had Tom Pritchard. Pritchard in the middle.
Yeah.
He's been there for 3 years, and you've seen it. He's about a 6'6 guy that you know, works hard, but he's just not very talented. So, but now they have Cody Zeller, a big-time recruit, coming in, and he's probably going to get a lot of playing time early. Brother of Tyler Zeller.
Sure.
What's the other Zeller brother's name?
Luke
Zeller.
Luke Zeller.
So, you know, there's three, that family tree, it's kind of like the Plumleys here. I mean, there's a lot of talent, and I hear he might be the best.
Wow.
So when we bring Dustin DePerak on next, we'll ask him about Indiana. Just the season they had, was it a huge disappointment? What they have going in the future? I want to ask him a lot about Tom Crean. Is this a year he
Good
has
call.
To produce? We'll be back on the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5,
95.3. The new Connect FM. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. It is the Tay and Jay Show. Lonte, Jeremy Warner, joined now on the phone from the Herald Times in Bloomington, Dustin DePerak. And Dustin, we're talking Big Ten basketball. We're just kind of recapping the year, and we're starting off with the Hoosiers, Indiana. And I looked down the roster and noticed only one senior, Jeremiah Rivers, only 4 points, 3 rebounds, somebody you're losing. But is that it, you think?
I mean, there could be somebody else. It all depends. And we actually asked when we went in the locker room after they lost to Penn State in the Big Ten tournament, asked a couple guys that we thought, you know, might possibly be looking to go, and Bobby Capobianco and Derek Ellison. They both say they're returning. I think they both want to come back. I guess it's more of a question of what happens when they sit down with Tom Crean and determine what their future is going to be. You know, does he want to continue to use the scholarship on those guys or doesn't he? And, you know, obviously, you know how these things work.
Right.
I mean, if coach says he doesn't really want to play you anymore, he says, listen, I'll call a mid-major for you. We'll get you set up. You know, we'll help you out. So it could happen. I mean, I don't dispute that they probably want to come back, that they like their teammates and those sorts of things. But, I mean, I would not be surprised if there's a sit-down meeting in which they're not necessarily told that you have to go. But, look, you know, it's going to be tough for you to get playing time if you stay. So I could see one or two leaving. I don't know. I mean, I would say Capobianco would be more likely than Elston. But you don't know that for sure. I mean, they still have one scholarship open for 2011 at this point. So they don't need to kick anybody out now. But they are bringing in a lot of kids for 2012, and so they're probably going to have somebody go by them. There's a chance they could add another commitment this week. There's a good possibility Jeremy Hollowell is going to announce for IU on Thursday. So at some point they're going to need to clear some space. Maybe it'll happen now. Maybe it'll happen a year from now. So it's up still right now. You can't really say for certain, but I wouldn't be too surprised if, you know, if there's a couple names that you're seeing right now that aren't on the roster, you know, 5 months from now.
Dustin DePerak from the Herald Times in Bloomington joining us right now, recapping Indiana's season. I want to get into their future. It seems like they're bringing in a lot of talent, Dustin. But was this season a big-time disappointment? It seemed like they were making some strides. You know, we knew the first 2 years would be tough. But a 3-15 Big Ten season, I know there were injuries and everything, but was it still a disappointment for Indiana?
It was a disappointment. I mean, I don't know. You know, trying to kind of evaluate how much is kind of difficult because there were certain things that would have been better, or at least they can point to and say would have been better if not for injury issues and eligibility issues. I mean, Maurice Creek never getting healthy was crucial because, I mean, everybody kind of looks and says, okay, well, you had a top five recruiting class in 2009 or top 10 recruiting class in 2009. How are you not significantly better in their sophomore years? Well, the best player in that class wasn't healthy all year. And, you know, then they had a situation where they desperately needed a center. They went out and got one from the JUCO class. They hoped it was going to make an immediate impact. He never gets to play because he's got an eligibility. So you can see, you factor that into it and you say, all right, well, if you were thinking NIT at the beginning of the year with Maurice, you know, a healthy Maurice Creek and Guy-Marc Michel, well, you got to, you know, reevaluate, you know, your expectations here. And I still think there were a few games that you have to look at and say, well, you should have been able to win that game. You should be able to beat Northwestern at least once out of two attempts. You should be able to beat Iowa at least once out of, you know, two attempts. When you're talking about an Iowa team that's going through a coaching transition and isn't really all that talented, you should be able to win one of those games. And there were a few others that you have to look at and say, okay, you should have been able to pull one of those out. Now, I still don't think you're looking at an NIT team. So how much worse, what did you really lose at the end of it? You know, how much worse are than what you could have been? It's a tough call. I think they could have been better. I think it's still a disappointment. I don't think people are happy with the idea of being in last place in the Big Ten for a third straight year. But I think you still have to look at it and say, well, how much better could they have been really?
Right, right. And you bring, I mean, Indiana brings back almost everybody. Like we said, Jeremiah Rivers is gone. How much gaining experience for guys like Jordan Holes, you know, Watford here another year, Oladipo had a lot of playing time. Did you see a lot of progress from those guys this year?
From some of them. I think that's when you break it down and make it look individually, there are certain cases where you think, okay, this guy should have been able to come along further. I mean, Oladipo and Sheehy, I think, were pleasant surprises to most Indiana fans. I think you had to look and say, okay, well, those guys showed us more than we were expecting. Jordan Holes, I think, also showed a lot. I think he was obviously a hometown hero coming out of Bloomington South, but I don't know if anybody realized what he'd be able to do at the college level. Just because he's 6 feet tall, he's not incredibly quick or incredibly athletic, but you saw just how far savvy can get you. I mean, the guy's got an incredible basketball mind, and I think people kind of underestimated that a little bit. I know I underestimated that. I didn't realize he'd be able to do some of the things he did this year when he was really called upon, when Verdell Jones was hurt, and even when Christian Rockford was hurt. I mean, he had to become a go-to guy that I don't think he was really expecting to be, and he really, you know, he really shined during that period. I mean, he showed that he could do a lot more than a lot of us were expecting. He, you know, attacked off the dribble, which everybody kind of said was something he wasn't going to be able to do at the next level, continued to shoot the ball pretty well. You know, he fell off with more, you know, defense. He obviously was the guy that came a long way in a year. Now, another guy like Derek Elston, I think a lot of people were expecting bigger strides in a way. Part of that was because he had to play a lot of center. I think he built himself up to be a power forward. He put on 15 pounds of muscle, and it seemed like, okay, this is a guy that can be a really, really effective four guy, can really rebound in that position. Then you put him in a five, and he looked lost again. He looked like, you know, he didn't know what he was doing on defense. You know, didn't really have much of an offensive game. Was still averaging, I think, 5 points and, you know, a little over 3.5 rebounds. I think they were expecting more from him. So there were some guys that I think made a lot of strides, some guys that didn't.
You know, two guys I really like, Sheehy and Oladipo. I think Jeremy and I talked a little bit about that I like their energy on the court. And speaking of energy, the one thing you can't argue about this year is the ton of fan support that Indiana had. I mean, every game in Bloomington was packed. It seemed like it was sold out. It was loud. And it brings me to the next question then about Tom Crean. Obviously, the fans are backing him right now. They're giving him that support. But how long is that going to last, Dustin?
At least through the 2012 season. I mean, I think, again, what continues to get him, I guess, currency, I suppose is the word with this fan base, is that he has so much talent coming in. He has so much in-state talent coming in. You know, I think fans can look at the guys he's bringing in, and they know exactly who they are. You can watch these kids. You know, they're not some guys from some distant land, distant faraway land that, you know, he's making up tales about. They've seen Cody Zeller. They've seen Yogi Ferrell. You know, they've seen Hunter Perea in AAU, Austin Etherington. You know, they have a real understanding of what these guys can bring, and that's giving him a lot more, you know, leeway there than he might even if he was getting great recruiting classes from New York or L.A. or whatever. They have an expectation. I mean, they think that there's a very bright future coming pretty soon, but they know it's not going to happen until he gets players. So they're looking at it and say, okay, well, you still don't have your guys yet, and we know your guys are coming. We see the talent level you're going to have. So we can just say, okay, he's going to get players. He's going to have a chance. Now, if he gets them there and they still don't win, well, then they know very well that he should be able to win with them. So then I think they might even turn faster. But I think they at least wait until you're not going to see a lot of you know, pitchforks out until at least 2012. In 2012-2013 season. If that team doesn't make the tournament or come really, really close, then you're going to see things turn a little bit.
Dustin Opierak from the Herald Times in Bloomington, Indiana, join us, kind of previewing what Indiana's got going in the offseason. And Dustin, I mean, Cody Zeller, a five-star recruit, probably the cream of Crean's recruiting efforts there so far. And then Austin Etherington, a three-star guy, small forward, 6'6", about 200 pounds. Are those guys that can make any immediate impacts, and does Indiana need them to make immediate impacts?
They can make an immediate impact, and they need them to make an immediate impact. But, like, I think fans are still looking at next year and saying there's only so much you can expect from those guys because they don't necessarily solve all of the problems. Cody Zeller, you know, he's in a lot of ways the centerpiece. I mean, there's a few centerpieces of this recruiting effort. The rest of them are in that 2012 class. But I think, Cody can be very, very good, but the issue is Cody still doesn't have a center to play with. I mean, as much as he's 6'11", he's 215 right now. I don't think anybody expects him to really be able to go in there and bang around with centers that are going to be 6'9", 240, 250. I mean, he's going to be giving up a lot, and, you don't want to put him in a five position. You got to play somebody there. It might end up being Tom Pritchard again. He doesn't solve all the problems that you have immediately. I mean, I think in Etherington is the same way. He's another one of, you know, he becomes one of several wings. I mean, he works in the same rotation with Sheehy and Oladipo, and then, you know, Maurice Creek, if he's back healthy, even Christian Watford's playing a three, Verdell Jones. I mean, like, there's a lot of guys that Etherington's going to be mixing in with. I think they're going to need him to help immediately. I mean, they obviously need to get something out of Zeller, at least to get him used to, I guess, the workload that he's going to have eventually. But I don't think anybody's looking at this and saying, okay, these guys are going to get them to a tournament immediately, or that they have that kind of capability by themselves.
Well, Dustin, I know it's real early. We just got done with this season, but what, I mean, Verdell Jones from Champaign, a Champaign kid, went over there. This will be his fourth year there. Is he going to see a postseason? I mean, what are the expectations going into next year for Indiana?
I mean, I think a lot of people would like to see an NIT. It depends a lot on scheduling, on how they schedule this. I think, you know, this year, in a lot of ways, it seemed like they scheduled to get in an NIT because they didn't really play anybody in the non-conference. There was a few kind of standing contracts. They've got, like, you know, they had a end-of-the-year tournament they were playing in, and they have the annual series with Kentucky and the ACC Big Ten Challenge game, but after that they scheduled nobody. So if they go that route again, I think there's a good chance that they've got a shot at making an NIT run if some things work out, if Creek comes back healthy, if Zeller makes an immediate impact. I mean, there's a possibility that Jones could see a postseason, but there's no guarantees. I don't think you can look at this after what this team did, after, you know, how short this team fell of making the postseason. Can you really say that there's, you know, five, six, seven games worth of improvement in Zeller and Etherington and a healthy Creek? I don't know. There's a possibility. I mean, they could do it. I think the league's going to be down a little bit because there's going to be a lot of stars that are going to be out. You know, Purdue's obviously going to have, you know, take a hit. Illinois is going to take a hit with so many of those guys graduating. So there's going to be spots to move up, and, you know, games that they might be able to win that they might not have been able to win a year ago. But no, there's no guarantee. You can't look at this team and say that it's for certain a postseason basketball team.
Dustin, when Matt Roth committed to Indiana, a lot of Illini fans were upset. A Washington, Illinois kid. I don't hear a lot of calls lately. What's up with Matt?
Matt Roth just shoots threes. that's it. Matt Roth shoots threes, and when that's enough, that's great. You know, I mean, he's an amazing shooter. I mean, you have to give him that. Like, he can hit anything from anywhere on the floor. It's tough for him to get a rhythm because, no, I mean, I think he's a better defender than he was 2 years ago, but that still leaves him a long way from effective. You know, he's still not at the point where you can just put Roth on one of the best guys out there and say, just lock this guy up. You know, he's not a guy that's going to beat you off the dribble. You know, he's got one skill that he's really, really, really good at. So, you know, that leaves you limited minutes. That's just kind of the situation he's in. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think he's a guy that would have benefited from being on a better team. I think, obviously, I guess he was recruited by, you know, Kelvin Sampson at the time. You put him on with a group with those guys, if that whole explosion doesn't happen, then, yeah, then things would work out well for him. He could play 10 or 15 minutes a game when you're playing with guards like Armon Bassett and Jordan Crawford.
Sure.
And, you know, whoever they would have gotten after that, you know, to Holloway and he's the guy from West Virginia that they ended up that they had. One way or another, they went out. They would have had a lot of players to put around him. He could have just kind of sat out there and waited for shots.
Right.
They have not had the sort of offensive firepower to put a guy like Roth out there. You know, other guys that are going to really get the offense to collapse and leave him open. He just hasn't been on the right team for him. I think there's other places he could have been that he would have had a very extremely productive college career.
Right.
And you know, he hasn't been in that situation. I mean, most of what he's played has been kind of late game when they're down by 15. They need a lot of threes in a hurry. They give the ball to Matt and just say, shoot it.
Shoot the ball.
You know, that's where most of his minutes are. That's what Matt Ross shoots threes. That's what he does well. He does it as well as anybody, but right. That's what he does.
All right, Dustin Dupirak, Herald Times in Bloomington. Thanks so much for joining us and kind of kicking off our Big Ten recap. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks again. Thanks for having me on.
Not
thanks,
a problem.
Dustin.
Great job. That is Dustin Dupirak again from the Herald Times in Bloomington. And
he breaks it down. I mean, he breaks it down. He knows Indiana basketball better than anybody. We'll have to bring him back out for football.
Absolutely.
See if he knows as much. But, yeah, Matt Ross shoots threes. I know a lot of Illini fans at the time were like, why didn't Illinois grab this kid?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't do much else.
No. And he basically says if an NIT next year, that would be a big thing for Indiana.
Goal.
Yeah, I agree.
If you can get out with about 12, 11 wins, NIT would love to add a team like Indiana.
Oh, that'd be huge. Huge. Tan J Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.